a minute. Yeah. All right, let's take a breath. All right, we're 10 seconds in, and this podcast is already off the rails. Welcome to our week, everyone.
Yeah. Oh, so much fun.
All right, good morning, everyone, or whatever time of day you're listening to this, to the Beyond Sunday podcast. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, our Pastor David.
Good morning.
And Katie Phillips.
Hello.
Hi, Katie.
Hello.
All right, so today, we're getting near the holiday season here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yes.
The best.
Fall is in the air. Here in Texas, we don't really have a fall.
Nope. It's weird.
It's coming.
No, I'm sorry. As someone who has lived in a place north of Houston, I just want to be on record and establish that even fall here is not fall.
Our leaves might not turn.
They do not turn. Our preschool teachers have to get leaves shipped in from up north so that they can teach children about what it means to have leaves change colors.
At least we're not shoveling snow in 3 months.
I personally enjoy shoveling snow.
Nobody enjoys shoveling snow. That's
I can say that I enjoy it because I don't have to do it every year.
Yeah. Jeez.
But that's where we are. We're coming into the fall.
We're coming into the fall.
Regardless of what the temperature says.
In the fall, you know, regardless. Yes. And that means Thanksgiving and Christmas are coming up. You guys like Thanksgiving? Big Thanksgiving fans here?
I'm a huge Thanksgiving fan.
I like Thanksgiving.
Mm, kind of ambivalent toward it.
Yeah.
It's
of course
fine.
You are.
I mean, I like Christmas more.
I don't really like turkey. So.
You don't like any turkey?
I mean, it's fine.
But it's what about all the side dishes? Mashed potatoes?
Well, you can have mashed potatoes at any time.
No, candied sweet potatoes. There's no...
Get out of here with that. Yeah, it's
like,
disgusting.
Yummy. Yes. What?
What's wrong with you?
Marshmallows on the top?
No, you don't have to put marshmallows on the top.
Yes, you do.
You're ruining perfectly good sweet potatoes.
Well, before we get into dissecting every possible side dish...
Beyond Sunday just became a cooking podcast. Yes.
If you want the recipe, let me know.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit about holidays. Do you guys have like a holiday, like a fail story, like something where one of your holidays went wrong or something bad happened?
Yes.
Ooh.
So Ryan and I host Thanksgiving at our home now, and we have for the last few years. And last year,
that's a mistake.
No, it's fun, Patrick. So last year it was Thanksgiving Day. And Ryan is smoking the turkeys. We had 2 turkeys for Thanksgiving, both of which are on the smoker. Of course, I forgot an ingredient that I needed for something. So, you know, the stores aren't open, but Dollar General is right down the street. So I ran to Dollar General. I come back, and the grill has gray smoke just billowing from it. The smoker does. I don't think this is the right color of smoke.
Not a good sign.
I'm not real sure. Yeah. So I run inside. I'm like, babe, I think something's happening outside. And he's like, no, it's fine. I'm like, no, really, I don't think this is right. And he comes outside. Sure enough, the smoker was on fire, which led to 2 rather toasty turkeys.
Dollar General did not sell turkeys for you to replace it?
No. But we didn't. Actually, the skin came off very nicely, and it was still super moist, and they still tasted really good.
There you go.
So it worked. But
as far as fails go, it seems like that turned out all right.
Yeah, but it could have been. I mean, they might have had a little bit of baking soda on them from trying to put out the flames. But
it
was
fun. You got to do what you
got to do. It was an exciting few minutes.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite Thanksgiving fail story is not actually my own, which is probably why it's my favorite. I was in middle school, and my parents were hosting Thanksgiving, and this is back up in Dayton, Ohio, where they still live. And we have an attached garage on our house. And so in the winter, because we're in the north where it is cold, in the winter you often use your garage as kind of an extra chill chest, right? So you keep things that you don't want. They don't need to be cold, but you don't want them at like room temperature. You just keep them in the garage. They don't need to be frozen or anything like that, but you can keep them in the garage. And so you just walk out and you have a soda, and it's cold and it's ready to go. Or you take your frozen turkey and you put it in the garage and it thaws. You put it, you know, in a cooler with the thing open, and it thaws over like a day and a half period, and then it's ready to go. Unless this particular holiday season, your garage door needs replaced. And so it's not appropriately sealing the way that it normally would. And so your garage is at about 14 degrees, as is the rest of the house. And then you pull your turkey out and start cooking it and discover that it is still frozen solid on the inside. And so lunch that was supposed to, or, you know, Thanksgiving lunch, it was supposed to be served at like 1:30 or 2 o'clock, ended up being eaten at about 6:30 or 7 that night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a long afternoon with a lot of grumpy older relatives who were way past their planned eating and napping times.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And so, you know, as a middle schooler, it was funny. I'm sure it was less funny for my parents, and I'm sure they really appreciate me sharing their their nightmare with the world.
For
Yeah, we have not hosted enough Thanksgivings of our own to have a true fail for Amanda and myself. I'm sure it'll come. Our time will come.
We'll also don't host Thanksgiving. We go to my wife's parents' house usually for Thanksgiving, and they do a great job, and we just kind of sit around and do nothing. You know, I try to at least help with cleanup.
You're nice.
But growing up, it was kind of just me and my mom for a lot of things. And one Thanksgiving, I went home for the holidays to be with my mom. And so since it's just the two of us, we never really did Thanksgiving. That's probably why I don't have strong connection to it. Mm-hmm. So we would always go out to eat. My mom wanted to do like a, go to this park in the Texas Hill Country to do like a mid-morning hike and then come home and we were going to go out to eat. So we went out there. And then she chose the longest trail with the extension part of it. So we hiked like 13 miles that day in the hill country. Came home. She passed out asleep. And so I went to Jack in the Box for Thanksgiving, for my Thanksgiving meal, you know.
Wow, yeah.
So that could be a tradition if you want to bring into your family. Yeah. Sure. Jack in the Box is open on Thanksgiving.
That's good to know.
As an option. Yeah. You're a Jack in the Box fan, right, Katie?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I like their tacos.
Kitty, the tacos have a slice of cheese in them. Not shredded cheese. A slice of cheese. That's madness.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Also good curly fries.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, you got that one, I guess.
This portion of Beyond Sunday brought to you by
Jack in the Box.
We are looking for sponsors.
Sure. Yeah.
If Jack is listening.
Yes, if you want a slice of cheese in your tacos, Jack in the Box is the way to go. Yeah. All right, so
I swear we have a point to this.
We do. Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about the holidays. So for you guys, holidays can be a stressful time period, I think, for everyone. Mm. Whether you're stressed about your family coming over or you're stressed about your family's not coming over, it's just kind of a stressful time for a lot of us. So how do we handle kind of that stressful time, kind of in a faithful way here during this holiday period?
Well. We host Thanksgiving, as I said before. So, and actually this year we have 22 people coming to our house, which I'm very excited about. I love having people, but that is a lot of people.
Sure.
So, I constantly have to remind myself, to be present, especially the day of, like when everybody is there and I'm worried about how does the food, is everything in the right spot? Does everybody have anything? Does anybody need a drink? You know, I'm trying to be a hostess. And at the same time, remembering that like everything doesn't have to be cleaned up right when we're done. Mm. Like everything, you know, and just being present and in the moment and, you know, just not worrying about all the little details that have to get done or, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that, like that you don't want to be so caught up in making sure all the small things are perfect that you lose out and forget the big things that are going on. Mm-hmm. Like the reason we're together is not green bean casserole or sweet potatoes, whatever.
With marshmallows.
Yeah. And those things are adding to the celebration, but they're not the point of the celebration.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a helpful thing for us to remember. If we go back, you know, what, one or two podcasts ago, we talked about identity and what does it mean for us to be rooted in that identity in Christ. And holidays are a prime time for us to appear like we're rooted in that identity and be secretly forgetting it, right? We're going to do all these things. We're going to sit around the table and, you know, we're going to have 22 people over to our house and we're going to go around the table and we're going to say something that we're grateful for. And
this is what happens. Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh.
And so, I mean, it feels, but on the inside, then we're like completely stressed out and completely forgetting about why we're actually here. Even though we're doing all this great stuff.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, week after week, right? We feel like, oh, we have to go to church. We have to do this. But on the inside, we're not taking the time to focus on what does it mean for me to be trying to follow Jesus every day, which is kind of why we want to do this podcast, right? Mm-hmm. We want to help people think about that question of what does it mean to go beyond that Sunday morning experience. And I can't say enough that it comes back to us remembering that we are first a follower of Jesus. And mm-hmm. so we're not someone who just goes out to eat lots of turkey and sweet potatoes and mashed potatoes and green bean casserole. We're someone who is taking this opportunity to be thankful because of the gifts that God has put into our lives. And everything else is really secondary. Mm-hmm. And everything else is really just us finding ways to convey our gratitude to the community around us. So that's where I struggle personally, is making that switch of, I don't need to have everything perfect. I don't need to have everything cleaned up. I don't need to have 13 different side dishes, for the 8 of us that are going to be together, right? You know, we can have this nice, simple meal and just remember, hey, we're taking this day to be grateful. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, this might be off topic a little bit, but I think it's also valuable to think about how are we treating those who are not able to be with their families on these holidays.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Have either of you ever done Black Friday shopping?
Yes.
I have done Black Friday shopping.
Okay.
Of course.
I even kind of like it.
Okay.
That's
totally cool. I have no judgment against Black Friday shopping. It is not my thing. More power to you. Okay. But here is my thing. The little that I have seen it and that I've partaken in it in the past, the way people who hours ago were sitting around a table mm-hmm. giving thanks then go out and treat one another and treat the employees and yell and kick and scream and fight over the last thing and whatever, I'm like, man, how quickly mm-hmm. we forget. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what a witness it would be for us as people of faith to go out on Black Friday and be nice to people. Like, it's not even that hard, right? Just go out and just be nice to someone.
Right. Yeah.
Take the time to thank an employee for working and mm-hmm. for doing their job. Tell them that you appreciate mm-hmm. what they're doing. And
mm-hmm.
let someone else get in front of you at the checkout line.
Right?
A bullet, right? And it seems stupid. Like, we don't have to change our entire worldview, but little mm-hmm. actions like that, keeping us kind of grounded on what are we really here for? What are we really about? I'm not here for the last Nerf gun,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know. Are there still toys that kids play with?
Yes.
Yeah?
We have
okay,
Nerf
good.
Gun wars all the time.
So I'm not just here for the last Nerf gun, right? I'm here because this is a season when I want people to know how important my faith is to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be able to experience that through everything that
mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I want my faith to just exude from me in such a way that people look and say, huh, something is different about that person.
Sure. Yeah, I think even now, speaking of this Black Friday stuff, I mean, since now Black Friday is no longer on Friday.
Right.
Now it's Thursday.
Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Best Buy is opening at like 2 p.m. or whatever
on
Thursday afternoon. And so, like, people are lining up Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're not even having a Thanksgiving or a traditional Thanksgiving, or maybe they're doing it after their Black Friday shopping. I have no clue, or they're having it in line, turkey sandwiches in line.
Sure,
yeah, you can do that. or Jack in the Box. Yes.
And the employees aren't going to be. You know, they're obviously having to be there to work.
Sure,
and they're not. If you're in that job, you know those places are not staffed by people who just choose to be there necessarily. It's often a you are required.
Maybe you're not.
You're required to
mm-hmm.
be here if you want to keep this job. And,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's definitely a tough situation. So how do we take care of those and those that are serving us on a holiday matters? You know,
mm-hmm.
that they're away from their families, not to get the best deal on a television, but so that we can get the best deal on a television.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to take care of them during these times,
mm-hmm.
time periods is a good thing. So let me, as we're talking about the holidays, do you guys have any like family traditions that you do for Thanksgiving or Christmas? You know, are there any things that come up for you guys that are traditional?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, back to, you know, we go around and we say what we're thankful for.
Uh-huh.
So all of us stand in a circle and we all hold hands. And one by one, we
all
go.
All 22 of you?
All 22 of us will do this on Thanksgiving. This is going to happen. And we go around one at a time and we say, over the last year, you know, since the last time we were together, what are we thankful for? And of course, 99% of the time, I end up crying by the time it's all done because I'm like, oh.
By person number two, Katie.
By person, yes, I am every year. But we've done that since since I could talk. I remember doing that at our grandmother's house every year at Thanksgiving. So it's just something that we've always done. I even have some of the decorations that my grandmother had used Thanksgivings past that I have. And then when my father's grandmother passed, my father's mom, so my grandmother, my paternal side, when she passed away, I actually received her dishes that she had, that she used everyday dishes at some point. There were somebody's China. But, and now this year we have relatives from Boston coming down. So I am going to use all of her plates for this Thanksgiving because it's all that side of the family stuff. So
very cool.
I thought that was just a little neat thing. So that's my plan for this year.
Our traditions mostly involve food. You know, it's the recipes that have gotten passed down. And so like this year, my grandfather has a sweet potato casserole recipe that does not involve marshmallows, but a sweet potato casserole recipe that he has done every year for as long as I can remember. And now, you know, we'll be here this Thanksgiving, and my grandfather's not in great health right now. And so being able to have that recipe and, you know, my sister will be able to be here with us. It'll be that reminder of those who have gone before us. And, it's it in of itself is a way that we are remembering who we're grateful for and who's formed and shaped us in this. At Christmas time, this is also my grandfather. He did a lot of good food. But at Christmas time, Christmas Eve, growing up, my grandparents lived like half a block from the church that we went to. And so my grandparents' daughters, my mom's sisters, would all come in on Christmas Eve from out of town, from wherever they were. And so we would go to church, usually like the, 6 o'clock service, whatever time it was. We'd get out of church and we'd go over to my grandparents and everybody would have arrived. And then everybody was just snacking on, you know, whatever. But my grandfather always made grasshoppers, which for those of you who don't know, is a...
I don't know.
Okay, so a grasshopper is a creme de menthe, the alcohol creme de menthe, and vanilla ice cream, and a little creme de cacao. All right, so it's basically a boozy milkshake. But growing up, my grandfather would make this for us with mint chocolate chip ice cream. It was basically just a mint milkshake, but he would make it for us as kids so that we thought we were all having the same thing. So I was literally 21 before I realized that a grasshopper was supposed to have alcohol in it, because that was the first time that my grandfather made me a grasshopper with alcohol. But so now, you know, that's still a tradition that I carry on, that we, you know, I get home now from Christmas Eve. You know, we do the 11 o'clock service here. I'm getting home at like 12:30, 1 a.m. But really quick, I make myself a grasshopper and, you know, toast to Christmas Eve and to all my family that is or is not with me at that time, and then go to bed. Because for me, it's that grounding of what is this all about, right? It might not, in that moment, it might not be thinking about the nativity story, but it is thinking about all the Christmases past where that has been shared with me and has been passed down for me to be centered in that process as we go through it. So those are some of the traditions that I like to carry on.
Well, I think here...
Sweet potatoes and booze.
It's great traditions, Take those at home, you know. These can be... take homes, I think for us as Lutherans, you know, we have definitely a really rich, like, traditional history when it comes to, like, worship and faith and things like that. I am kind of like an outsider into Lutheran faith. I was not raised in a Lutheran family. I was, you know, went to a private school when I was a kid, and I became a Lutheran kind of that way. And so I don't have that same connection to faith tradition that I think some of my people in our own congregation or church or in their own denomination might have. So, you know, how does tradition, do you think, how can that be a good thing for our faith? Like, what are some things that are traditions, whether that be our holiday traditions or our worship traditions? How do those help strengthen our faith?
Well, I think for me, traditions, family traditions, traditions that I have that are, you know, faithful and that I've done since I was little in church, all of that grounds me. I think that just centers me and reminds me of who I am and where I've come from. And, you know, and I get to pass those on to my kids now. So, and that's a really awesome thing to do as well, I think.
You know, when I was in high school, I got really fed up with the tradition. Lutheran Church, because it felt to me like it was words with no meaning. So, you know, every week we're going to come, we're going to say the same confession. We're going to say the same creed. We're going to say the same Lord's Prayer. We're going to sing the same words. The pastor's going to say the same thing at communion. And so every week I was like, well, what's the point? Why are we doing this? And it was when I was in seminary and I was working with some people in a hospital.
as part of a process that we go through where you serve as a chaplain in a hospital as part of your seminary education. So I was talking to them, and they were going through a pretty difficult time, medical issues and things like that, and they wanted to hear the Lord's Prayer. They just wanted to say the Lord's Prayer together. Mm. And so in conversation, I just asked them, you know, why is this so meaningful to you? Mm-hmm. And for them, in that moment, it was reminding them of where they came from. You know, like you said, Katie, like it's that grounding of this is, in spite of everything else that we're facing, you know, we're going through this difficult medical thing, we're going through these financial problems because of it, you know, this, that, and the other. In spite of all of that, this pulls us back and says this is the community that we're a part of. You know, I had a pastor who used to say, you know, when you can't find the words to sing, the community sings for you. When you can't find the words to pray, the community prays for you. And that's the beauty of tradition.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You come in and, you know, yeah, you're saying the same Apostles' Creed every week, but when you can't stand up and honestly say, I believe every word of this, the congregation believes on your behalf.
Sure.
When you come to the rail for communion and you're asking yourself, man, do I deserve this? Am I worth this? Is this real? Is this what God intends for me? The community believes on your behalf. You know, the way that I sometimes use the image is that we are a community with traditions because we carry one another when we can't do it. And the traditions are a piece of what carries us.
Sure.
You know, so for a lot of people, that comes down to, like, holiday traditions, right? So Christmas Eve, many people will tell you it was not a Christmas Eve service if we did not light candles and sing Silent Night.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Because that tradition carries faith for them and carries meaning for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember speaking with somebody too who kind of mentioned, like, singing some of these old classic hymns, like when they're singing them in church and now they're in their 50s and 60s, it can take them back to when they were five and six and sitting with their grandparents and, you know, who have now since passed and since, you know, them experiencing that, and they want the same things for their grandkids to one day have the same kind of family tradition that keeps going and going and going. But at the same time, I think for me, even, like, we don't really have a lot of family traditions in my family and things like that. Sometimes I look at tradition or kind of these things as, like, before I decided I wanted to enter ministry, I was going to pursue a career in film. I wanted to actually write about film. And things like that. And so I watched a lot of, like, classic film. So, like, Citizen Kane is a classic film. It has a historically important film. For me, it was also kind of boring. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I see its value, but I was like, but it's not really something I really want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so sometimes I approach tradition, even in the church, can be sometimes the same way. Like, I see its value. I get that. But sometimes I'm like, it's just not really for me.
Yeah.
And so how do is there any ways, like, there can be, like, this marriage to tradition that ends up being, like, a pitfall for us? You know, is that a possibility? Whether that's family tradition, worship tradition.
Can I ask you a question, Katie? So when you have brought new people into the family.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
What has there been their reaction? So, you know, spouses or you know, not just, like, you have random people that show up. But, you know, as new people come into the family, what is their reaction to the stand in a circle and sing Kumbaya?
Yep.
Yeah, was Ryan on board holding
so
hands?
He was. Like, God love him.
God
I mean,
does.
He, I know, right? He really did. Like, he was like, okay. But he's very adaptable. Like, he can adapt to situations.
Sure.
Now, I will tell you, part of the 22 people coming for Thanksgiving, and it's been this way since we've started hosting 3 or 4 years ago, are Ryan's parents.
Okay.
And this year, we get to have his sister and brother-in-law. Or my brother-in-law. And, well, you know what I mean. His sister.
So, and her husband.
Yes, and her husband. Thank you very much. Whoa. Butchered that.
Family trees are fun.
Yes, they are fun. Okay. And actually, and I, this is something I've loved to watch over the last 4 years, is how, I guess going back, I have lots of things in my head right now, which is always a problem. going back to what you just said about traditions, and sometimes is it not necessarily a flaw, but I think sometimes it can make us stuck. Like, this is where we have to be, and we have to do it this way.
Sure.
And I have found, taking over Thanksgiving from my grandmother, that there are certain things that I just went, oh my gosh, yes, we're still going to stand in a circle and we're still going to do this because it's meaningful. And Ryan's parents have taken that in and they're like, oh my gosh, yes. And they do it with us. And Ryan's sister does it with us. And they seem to enjoy it. I don't know. I've never really asked them, like, is this weird putting you on the spot, you know? But they seem to be totally okay with it. And but I've also been able to reshape things too. We haven't had to do exactly the same thing that has been done before. And it kind of moves.
When you stand in the circle, does someone kind of tell the story of why you do this? Does someone say like, hey, you know, for the last 20 years we've gathered together. This is something that our grandmother started. This is why it's meaningful to us. Do you do anything?
No, but maybe curious. I will this year. Now that you say that, because I don't know. I think it's just been, we just stand in a circle, we hold hands, and we start, normally we've started, because Nanny and Granddaddy, my grandparents, are usually standing next to each other. So we usually have started with Nanny, and Nanny starts it, and we go all the way around the circle. It ends with Granddaddy, and Granddaddy says what he's thankful for, and then he prays before Thanksgiving. So that's kind of how that, but we've just started and gone, okay, time to say what we're thankful for. Like, we just know
that. Because everybody knows it.
Right.
I think that Patrick, for me, is where it can start to get in the way. Is when we come in, and it's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's a great tradition.
But we're not explaining why we're doing it.
And not that you should, right? I mean, your community understands what you're doing.
Right.
But if we're thinking about the traditions of the church and the traditions of our faith life, and we want to invite new people in to experience these things, one of the things we're not always doing well is inviting them into the story of why these traditions are valuable.
Yes. Sure.
And so someone like you, Patrick, who's coming without this deep-rooted family history of being connected to these things, you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Sure.
It'd be a lot faster to go through Silent Night if you didn't try to light candles beforehand.
Right.
It'd be a lot faster to get through communion if you just did it this way instead of going to the rail and handing everybody a thing one by one. Like, there are more efficient ways to do this.
Sure.
And perhaps there are ways that might seem more meaningful, but because we have not done a good job of connecting that to the story of our people, right?
Yeah.
And so how do we, in our own faith life then, take these practices and make sure that as we're passing traditions on, we're sharing the stories so that they're not empty traditions.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we, if we want to pass faith on to our kids, how do we pray at the table every night? Not because it's dinner time and we have to pray,
right,
but because this is a story of connecting ourselves to God and giving thanks for the gifts that are here. You know, how do we, if we're going to work, how do we let our coworkers see the meaningfulness of our tradition of stopping to pray before a meal or having a Bible verse on our wall? You know, whatever it might be for us, that's our tradition that connects us to our faith. How do we invite people into that story? And how are we open to their story changing us?
Sure.
Because in reality, while our traditions are great and strong, as we encounter the experience of others, there's a possibility that our traditions will be shifted, right? I mean, when Amanda and I came together, we had two family stories and two sets of traditions, and now we're merging these things together to figure out what that looks like.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to use an example. Did your family open Christmas presents on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
My family, Christmas Eve. Ryan's family, Christmas Day.
Yeah. When do you do it now?
We do it on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We go to my family Christmas Eve, and we do Ryan's family on Christmas Day.
So we merge the traditions. and sometimes that's what happens, and sometimes there are other ways that we compromise those things. But when we bring traditions together, we share the stories together of what this means to us, and we figure out how to build something new together. And you've built something new where you get to do it on both. And sometimes that looks different. But
yeah. Yeah, so what do you think that looks like for like a church or a faith community to bring in new traditions into the old traditions? How does that work for a congregation?
On Christmas, not very well.
Yes. No, it does not.
we have a hands-off sense towards Christmas a lot of times. And the three of us have been in planning meetings the past couple weeks talking about some of the stuff coming up. And, we all have our things that we want to hold on to that we don't want to ever let go of. And, I use Silent Night jokingly in part because it's a really meaningful, it's a really meaningful time for me.
Sure.
But what I have learned in serving in different congregations is that every congregation assumes that they do it the way everybody else does it.
Sure.
And all of them do it differently.
Correct.
No, at least within the realm of Lutheran congregations, no two Lutheran congregations are singing Silent Night and lighting candles the exact same way, but all of them assume that they are doing it
the right way, mm-hmm. and the way that everybody else does it, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. And, well, this is how Jesus did it.
Right, exactly. Jesus sang Silent Night and lit the candle this way on the night that he was born, because infant Jesus could hold up a candle because he's God. But so, you know, we start with those traditions, and we have to ask ourselves, again, what's the story and the meaning behind
sure.
this?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's okay if we don't sing all four verses of O Come All Ye Faithful.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to say we're going to do something else in place of it, and mm-hmm. here's why. Mm-hmm. I think connecting it back to the story is how we can give birth to those new traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to say, this is a new way for us to connect to the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes we have the mindset of this is, that we can think of our faith traditions, our family traditions, and thinking, this is really valuable and important to me, therefore it should be really valuable and important to you, the outsider.
Right.
And that's just not always the case.
Right.
And I think sometimes it has to have that educational aspect to it,
mm-hmm.
of how can we welcome you in, have you say these same words that we're saying with us, but have a meaning for you for the first time saying them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just meaningful if you've done it your whole life. It can be meaningful the first time you say those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that's where we struggle as a denomination, of
mm-hmm.
kind of explaining, this is why it's important, these things. And sometimes that means you have to explain those things in worship, because that's when people are there.
Yeah.
And that's hard, because 99% of your people
right.
know
mm-hmm.
or think they know
yeah.
why mm-hmm. we do it. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's where we get ourselves into trouble, is making that assumption that 99% of people
sure.
know.
I mean, and maybe I'm incorrect. Yeah.
Right. And I think that maybe we overestimate how many people really understand what these traditions are
sure.
about. And
yeah.
I think that we need to do a better job of educating ourselves so that we can be really inviting everyone into that story.
Mm-hmm. So what are some like faith traditions that we can like bring into the home? Like, how can we start these things to become like a tradition thing around the holidays? What are some practical ways to bring a faith tradition?
I'll stand in a circle at Thanksgiving.
Besides hold hands.
Well, now I'm thinking of Advent.
Well, what if you sure. don't like to hold hands?
Well,
what if you're
lock elbows?
Yeah, you can lock elbows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your shoulders.
Huddle
style.
Our seventh grade boys do not hold hands when we pray. They do not.
They'll
like
huddle.
It.
That's
yes.
true.
Mm-hmm. If you ask them to huddle, I bet you they would.
They put like their fists together. And then they hit each other when it's their turn.
Yeah,
seventh graders
right.
are great.
Yeah.
Jesus loves the little children. Yeah, all right.
As far as traditions in your home, I tend to lean a lot towards Advent right now because
okay.
that's, you know, if you have an Advent wreath in your home
okay.
and you light an Advent wreath together each week of Advent.
Okay.
And do
so for the sake of following
oh,
our own advice and
yes.
explaining the traditions
yeah.
that we're speaking
oh,
about,
goodness.
Can you give me like a one sentence synopsis of Advent?
Advent are the 4 weeks leading up to the birth of Jesus.
There we go.
And what preparation occurs in those 4 weeks before he comes.
Right here, David was ready to, he was marking your score.
I know.
I was.
Yeah, yeah.
It is staff
yeah.
evaluation month.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. No. Anyway, so Advent. So we have Advent wreaths, which is a tradition with many denominations. I don't think it's just a Lutheran thing.
It's not.
So you have a wreath and you have four candles on it.
Mm-hmm.
One that sits on a table, not on a door, because that might be a little bit difficult.
Actually, originally they were on doors too.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Oh, the candle. Never mind. I have a picture in my head of, never mind.
It's okay.
All right.
Katie's catching up. Don't worry,
I'm
folks.
Catching up. So, and then you light a candle each week as you walk through the 4 weeks of Advent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a good
mm-hmm.
Advent tradition. Also, you know, like everything now can be an Advent calendar, this
mm-hmm.
countdown of every day. You're
mm-hmm.
opening up a little door on your calendar, and there's like a chocolate or a Lego or a
mini bottle of wine.
Or a mini bottle of wine.
True story.
Yes, for your family to enjoy.
I don't recommend that as a family tradition, but
not every family has young children. Maybe this is a
Trader Joe's, man.
That's
yeah.
but those are good ways to have this like, I'm preparing my heart for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those aren't the only ways to do that. If your family finds some other way to have those celebratory traditions,
mm-hmm.
that's okay. But those are good ways to do those kind of preparations for
mm-hmm.
Christmas.
Yeah. And one thing that my family did growing up, this was something that my parents were really I guess, good at. We didn't do family devotions throughout the year on a really regular basis, but Advent and Lent, we were very mm-hmm. clear about trying to do those. Mm-hmm. And at Advent in particular, because we're getting Christmas cards, it became a tradition that during our devotions, we would get to open a couple Christmas cards from people. And it was a way for my parents not only to connect, you know, hey, these are people, you know, wishing us a Merry Christmas and, you know, sharing their story with us, but it's also a way for us to remember people in our lives that are mm-hmm. meaningful, that we're thankful mm-hmm. for. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, us as little kids, we didn't always know these people. And so it was really like giving us a lot of connection to a larger story of people mm-hmm. who care about mm-hmm. us as a family and want us to succeed. And so even just something like opening Christmas cards is something that can become a family faith practice. You know, last year we have a mom's Bible study that meets here on Wednesdays with our groups at Lord of Life, and they invited me to come and talk to them about this very thing. You know, how do we bring Advent into our homes? And one of the things that I hope they took away from that is that anything you do can become a faith practice and mm-hmm. a faith tradition. Mm-hmm. If you bake Christmas cookies together, that can become a faith practice and a faith tradition if you take the time to have the conversation and say, mm-hmm. we're making these cookies for people that we're thankful for. We are thankful for them because they care about us and they love us in the same way Jesus cares about us and loves us, right? If you put out cookies and milk for Santa, that can become a faith tradition. You know, why? Mm-hmm. Why do we put out these things when we're remembering this person who comes and brings gifts, and we remember that's a larger part of a story that's connecting us to who Jesus is and what that's all about. Sure. You know, all of these things can become faith mm-hmm. practices and faith traditions if we take the time mm-hmm. To invest in them. It's, again, this goes back to, you know, your Thanksgiving preparation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Katie, are you in it for the long haul, just trying to get everything done and make everything perfect, or are you present? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think really should set us apart as followers of Jesus during the holiday season is our desire to be present, mm-hmm. not just to get from Halloween through Thanksgiving to Christmas mm-hmm. and on to New Year so that we can get on with the next year, yeah. but to be present in those moments. I think that can really set us apart.
Yeah, rarely do we look back on our traditions and our family history and we think, oh my gosh, I love Thanksgiving because the turkey was just so moist and great. Like the right. food was just
Patrick especially does not
yeah the, that are the food you was keep just coming back so to turkey. Good. Right. Like we rarely think like that's why I love Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like we think of the family, we think of the connection, mm-hmm. we think of those things that are all part of that. And so we need to remember that's the point. The mm-hmm. point of our Thanksgiving or Christmas or our holiday traditions, the points are the family, the connection, the faith aspects there, not I don't really remember what I got for Christmas when I was 8. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember very few presents mm-hmm. I actually mm-hmm. got mm-hmm. Over the years. But we remember the act of gift giving. Mm-hmm. That was the point. Not the stuff. Not the thing.
Right.
But it was the giving of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So those are all valuable things for us to do.
Yeah. I'd also look at, you know, how can our family be connecting to the world around us, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Finding ways to give back.
Yeah, finding ways to give back. You know, like you were saying, it's the act of giving that we're going to remember. So whether that's you and your neighbors, whether it's you and your coworkers, you and your kids, whatever your community looks like, how are you connecting with the world and caring for the world around you out of the gifts that you have been given?
Sure.
And anybody can do that, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you might be sitting in a $1 million home and thinking of ways that you can do huge and grand things, and that's fabulous. You might be saying, I'm not sure how I'm going to pay my electric bill next week, but there are still ways that you can mm-hmm. be aware of the people that are around you mm-hmm. and caring for and giving to them.
And something we do with the kids before Christmas, because we know that toys are coming. I mean, it's just what happens with family and everything else. So they know every year before Christmas, the beginning of December, they go through their rooms and they find toys that they just are like, okay, we're donating these to children who don't have toys mm-hmm. or children who just need more things, and so that we have space for new things.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Gobble, gobble.
There
gobble,
it is, gobble. Katie. You nailed it. This is the recommendation point the podcast. We still don't have a jingle yet, I don't think.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that's in there.
There you go. And this week, Pastor David, you're going to give us a recommendation. What do you have for us?
My recommendation for your Thanksgiving pleasure is to go check out a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. It is not my favorite Charlie Brown special, but it is a quality.
Which is your favorite?
I'm going to save that for another recommendation, Patrick.
Well, it's Christmas.
Obviously.
as if there were any doubt.
Yeah.
So go check out a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
See, and Christmas.
And Christmas.
You don't have to wait till the holidays.
Frankly, they're probably showing a Charlie Brown Christmas at Thanksgiving this year anyway, because that's what's happening.
Sure, for sure.
But go check it out. It's great and can bring your family together for all sorts of Thanksgiving.
Do you like Charlie Brown, Katie?
I love Charlie Brown. We just actually watched the Peanuts movie the other day. It's amazing.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, there you go.
Katie got to sneak a recommendation into my recommendation. But
wow.
It's all related. Hey,
two recommendations for the price of one.
That's right. It's our Thanksgiving special. Black Friday special here on the podcast. Two recommendations.
So we recommend Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, the Peanuts movie, and I'll recommend Honey Roasted Peanuts. Which are also good.
Excellent. Lots of peanuts happening here. Yes. So awesome. With that, you can find us at beyondsundaypodcast.com. You can find all our new episodes there. There's a place for comments, so we'd love to be in conversation with you about what you're thinking about the episodes. Eventually, you can check back for exclusive content on the website as well. Ooh. You can find us on Facebook at Beyond Sunday Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at beyond_Sunday. We encourage you to follow us, like us, all the appropriate things that you do there. We need your approval, so help us out. That's not completely true, but it's a little true. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Be sure to rate and review us on your favorite podcast provider. And if you're not hearing this right now, then we're sorry, but let us know, and we will be glad to try to get on the podcast provider of your choice.
All right. Do we have an email address?
We do have an email address at beyondasundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Email us. We want to hear from
you. Absolutely. We want to hear from you. And according to Patrick, anything you send, we will read. So there you go.
You send me letters from Nigerian princes, I'm reading it, okay?
I'm going to read it. I may or may not give them my money, but I will read the letter.
Sure. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Have a great week. Gobble, gobble.